All right, welcome to the Sports Ethos San Diego Chargers podcast. We normally record this a little bit earlier on a Sunday. We're recording it much later because Rory just won the Masters. And Brandon, really quick, I mean, that was a stressful, pretty much stressful back nine there, especially on 18.
I mean, that was a stressful 3 days for him. You know, just to start off as kind of as poor as he did, and literally every commentator said, hey, if he gets off to a bad start, he's going to be in a world of trouble, and he was early. I mean, to then come back basically on day two on the important day and rally the way he did, and it's crazy because if he doesn't build up that large, what was that, five-stroke lead he had, it's, you know, I'm the first person to tell you I don't care about golf, but... And, you know, his performance overall was not good, but that second day to get that much distance in between, you know, him and the guys behind him, it's pretty much, he needed every bit of it because he ended up, you know, blowing it on the third down, you know, today and having to go to, you know, a playoff to win it. So, and the thing is, if our boy was it Justin Rose, if he doesn't, you know, blow that last, you know, putt there because it just missed the hole. If he didn't blow last putt, we'd have been going to a second hole, and who knows what would happen there. So, and the longer it goes, the worse it was going to be for both of them. So, you know, Rory needed every bit of his day two performance to win it. But listen, I remember when he came on the scene and. You know, everybody hyped him up as the biggest. I remember everybody hyped him as the biggest thing since Tiger, and of course, you know, he became the face of all the PGA games after Tiger. But the thing is, the only thing that was eluding him for so long was the Masters. So, you know, as much as I don't care about golf, I knew his name for so many years. So it's still good to see him finally win one. But yeah, that was. Hey, it was shaky, but at the end of the day, all you gotta do is get the job done, and he did.
Will, what was your impression of those final holes there?
It was disappointing. I thought basically in those holes that was like right there, distance, basically just do a little tap and put it in. I think disappointed that he didn't make it, but at the end, hey, at least he finished. But I think it's always important to finish strong.
Yeah, for sure. Shane, the fine margins of golf, man, like we always talk about, you know, you playing golf and stuff. I mean, those fine margins get amplified in a tournament like the Masters.
Yeah, and I mean, golf is interesting because it's such a game of precision. And, you know, physically it's easy. Well, not easy, but it's, you know, easier than, and you know, most other sports you think of. I mean, that's why 80-year-olds are able to play it, but it does take a lot of skill and a lot of practice, because, you know, I learned from a guy who actually was a PGA pro who happens to live in this area. He's retired now, but he would take like slow motion videos of me swinging. And say, like, okay, so you see how your left arm was about an inch too far over here before you got the club in this position? It's like, what? You need to be that precise? But that's just how it goes. Yeah. You know, and it's definitely not only that, but... You know, the score itself is always so close in golf tournaments. Like, it's, you know, these guys are all within like a hole or two of each other. And it really does come down to the very end, usually. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that was no exception here.
No, absolutely. I mean, the stressful stuff was the hole on 13, because 13, he hits the water on 13, and we're just like, oh my god. 15, he should have eagled on 15. That was the biggest one because it was very similar to what he did on 18, missing on 18 before the playoff hole. And I was like, oh my God, like it's those small margin for errors and you never know what's gonna happen to the guys behind you. And, you know, luckily he found a way to win it. I mean, again, to get that career grand slam, join Tiger, Gary Player, all those guys, one thing that's eluding him. So it is good to see him get it done. We'll see what he does go through his career. But, you know, now he cements himself as one of the all-time greats with that. Let's talk about some of the all-time greats in the AFC with our AFC Mount Rushmore. So let's see. What order? So I'm going to give Will the first pick here, or the first team, what we're going to do. Go through the teams here. And then we'll go Shane, Brandon, and then myself here. So, because I think Shane, you were third or fourth last week, correct?
I don't know. Who cares?
I know for most of it, I was fourth. I don't mind, you know, taking a back beat.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll let you go number two. So we'll start, Will, with the Buffalo Bills. What's your Mount Rushmore here for the AFC side this week?
This one was a bit hard. Honestly, I don't have Josh Allen on mine, but this is my pick. I have Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith, the controversial O.J. Simpson, and Andre Reed.
Okay. I was too scared to put O.J. on mine. I have Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith, Andre Reed, and Josh Allen. Brandon?
Yeah, I have the same as Will, except for Jim Kelly. I did put Josh Allen. So Josh Allen, Bruce Smith, Andre Reed, and O.J.
Okay, you put O.J. on as well. Shane?
Bruce Smith, Jim Kelly, Josh Allen, and Thurman Thomas.
Thurman, good.
Yeah.
Okay, Miami Dolphins. How much love did you give the undefeated Dolphins, Brandon, for you?
I do have one member on there from that team. But ultimately, a lot of the other three Dolphins, I think, are pretty straightforward, at least for me. So Marino, because you can't have any forget Dolphins, but AFC list or NFL list without having Dan Marino. So Marino, Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas, and Larry Zonka.
Shane?
Yeah, I also have Marino, Taylor, Thomas, and Larry Little.
Ooh, Larry Little, good pick there. I like that. Will?
Mine was the same. I got Dan Marino, Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas. I got Mark Clayton.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. Very interesting. Bob Greasy, Dan Marino, Jason Taylor, and Larry Zonka for me. New York Jets, please get some better players. Why do you guys suck? Yeah. You guys have sucked forever. Like, this sucked to do.
There's only one recent one, and I think we all know who that is.
Darrell Revis,
but
Joe Namath.
Yep.
Nick Mangold makes my list.
And, I like that.
And Curtis Martin. Man.
Robert, we have the same list.
Shane, we got the first one, Shane and me. Let's go. All right, Will, keep it going.
All right, I have Joe Namath, obviously, Darrell Revis, Revis Island. I got Wayne Chrebet.
Ooh,
and I got
Kevin Mulway, too. And Chrebet. I like that. Brandon, 15 minutes up the road for you. What do you got?
I would have put Kevin, I think, as a Titan. I think he was a Titan for longer. Yeah. I forget if he actually, I'm trying to remember where he put, I think it was, he was good everywhere he went, but, it's the other three, the two of them that are undisputed are Namath and Revis. That goes without saying. And then I do have Curtis Martin. Funny story about Curtis Martin. He's actually technically he lives actually, well, not always. He's got multiple homes. It's Curtis Martin. But one of his homes is right behind my friend's house, about six blocks away.
That's awesome. So, actually, give him some love on the podcast. So, love it.
So that's really cool. And then my last one, which I'm surprised no one mentioned, because they were dominant for the Jets. As part of the New York Sack Exchange, I have Mark Gastineau.
Oh, good. I was thinking about him. I was thinking about him. Okay. Yeah. How much Brady era Patriots did you take, Shane?
Oh, boy. This...
Three.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brady, Gronk, Randy Moss, and John Hanna.
Ooh!
Why did I? Why? Oh, I know why Gronk didn't pop up for me, because he's not in their Hall of Fame list yet. Patriots, wake up! I'm gonna put him on my list right now because I forgot about it. I'm going to put him up. I'm gonna put him in. I'm gonna give this guy some love. Okay, I'm gonna take. I'm gonna take Rodney Harrison out and put Gronk in, because I don't know why that heated me. So Brady, Gronk, Teddy Bruschi, and Ty Law.
Love it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's the same thing as me.
I'm so mad. Wait, is Gronk in the Patriots Hall of Fame and I just missed him? I just didn't see it on the list.
I don't
think so. Is he not on there yet?
Not yet.
Oh my God, bro. I'm mad I just missed it on plain sight, but whatever. Will, go ahead.
Yeah, the crazy thing.
Same list, actually. You had the same.
Yeah, I could have got. I should have. I was thinking about pulling McGinnis on there, Will McGinnis, but I think Teddy Bruschi. I think he deserves it more.
Yeah,
man, Richard Seymour. Like, I was thinking, like, I miss a lot. Wilson Seymour, Vince Wilfork. Like, I miss a lot of people.
Why am I missing guys, man? I knew I was missing someone for the Patriots, and it was Gronk. All right, Brandon, finish this off.
Yep. I have one that's going to, it's not too surprising, but it's not somebody you would really think of right away. But I have Brady, Gronk, Ty Law, so those three also. And then one of the greatest of all time that we forget about from that team, Adam Vinatieri.
I love it. We have a kicker. Yeah. We have a kicker. Oh my God. Yes. We have a kicker.
Yeah, yes. I'm not gonna leave one of the greatest kickers of all time off the list. And the thing is, he made so many big kicks for the Patriots over the years, he deserves to be on there.
I love it. All right, NFC North time, Brandon, Ravens.
Ugh.
I mean, I feel like that was probably this division in general was pretty easy for me. Well, except for Cleveland, because Cleveland's been shit for so long. But for the Ravens. I think the first two, if you don't have these, then my God, don't talk football. Ray Lewis and Ed Reed.
Yeah.
And then I put Lamar, because Lamar has his MVPs already, and he's that dynamic, and he'll be a Hall of Famer when he retires one day.
Future proof, and then my I'm okay with that.
And then my last one, probably one of the greatest. I mean, not one of. I would say one of, I wouldn't say the greatest, but one of the greatest offensive linemen ever, Jonathan Ogden.
Oh my God, same thing as me. What the hell?
Yeah.
same as me, Brad.
Wait, can you say the list again? I think I missed somebody. So Lewis, Reed.
Yeah, Lewis, Reed, Lamar Jackson, and Jonathan Ogden.
Okay. So I have all those three, except I put T. Sizzle, Terrell Suggs.
Yeah, I was thinking about
instead of who?
Instead of Lamar.
We have the same list, Robert.
Okay. Lewis Reed, pretty unanimous. Ogden Suggs.
I think that's the first time. That's the first time I think that two and two of us, like two pairs, we've had the same list.
And honestly, I don't think you can hate either list. I really don't think you can hate either list.
I almost put Lamar in. So
I can't consider him yet, but I like the future proofness. Because I think in 5 years, if we do this again in five years, he'll be on there. all right. Shane, let's go with Pittsburgh Steelers here.
Oh.
That's a lot. Okay,
this is a tough one because, as you said, a lot of history. I have Big Ben.
Yeah.
Troy Polamalu.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Joe Green. And Jack Lambert.
Jack Lambert. Nice. Jack Lambert. What a pick. What pick.
I thought about it.
Brandon, go ahead. Make your Steelers fans proud here.
Yeah, I went all defense, actually. So I did include Big Ben. I went all defense on this one because you can't mention a team that has so much history and not mention their defense, because their defense is what's won them championships. At least most of them, not all of them, but most of them. So I have to include family ties. So Troy Polamalu, obviously, one of the players play the game.
Yeah.
So Troy Polamalu, and for anybody listening, yes, Troy Polamalu is technically related to me. I can explain that story another day.
Oh my God, wait, Troy, pause. I want to hear this story. This is perfect. I want to hear this.
You've never heard this?
So, yeah, I've told you, I've told you guys this a few times. You told me and
I forget, but I don't think you've said it on the podcast in lighter audience. Okay.
So my great-grandmother, besides my, you know, having my grandmother and her 5-6 siblings, she had after a while my half great aunt, so because she's the half sister to my grandmother, and it's funny, she was on the same age as my mom, believe it or not, but there's a big age gap between the sisters. So the youngest of the bunch, she married in Samoa, she married Troy Polamalu's cousin. So technically by marriage, me and Troy Polamalu are basically cousins, like once or twice removed.
Troy, come on the podcast. Let's get some fair 11 here. And bring head and shoulders. I need more head and shoulders. I need more shampoo.
And then obviously my aunt, she has a couple signed things from Troy that I still want. I keep asking every time I go to her place of business. I'm like, can I please have this picture off the wall? So I technically am related to him by through marriage.
That's awesome.
But yeah.
All right, continue through. Troy?
Yeah, Troy's on there. Rod Woodson. TJ Watt. Yeah, TJ Watt, because TJ is one of the greatest defensive linemen of the recent era. And no list is complete without one of the most gigantic, overpowering Steelers ever. Mean Joe Green.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Will, what do you got?
All right, mine is a bit same and different. So I have Mean Joe Green. I have Brandon's bro, Troy Polamalu.
Yeah.
I have the Buzz, Jerome Bettis.
Nice.
Yes.
Love
yes.
that. And I have Mel Blount.
And Mel Blount. Okay.
Like that.
I like it a lot. Mel Blount, Troy Polamalu, Mean Joe Green as well, and Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, TB.
I don't know. I'm different about him.
Cincinnati Bengals. Let me know if this is a shock list or not.
This was one of the hard ones.
Mine's a bit shocker.
Anthony Munoz.
Yeah, that's easy.
Ken Riley, the two Hall of Famers. You got to put them in. There's only two in there.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, that's fine to me.
Yeah.
I think there's a different receiver that should be considered there now.
Yeah.
That could change. I mean, so, okay. I also have Munoz and Ken. But then I have, and Burrow as well, but I have Ocho Cinco.
Yeah.
I think in a few years, you could put Ja'Marr up there.
I think that is.
I mean, he's only been in the league for like what, 3 years? So I just feel like it's a little early.
But I think that is a completely fair and reasonable argument. No hate there at all. I love that. I'm totally cool with that. All right, Brandon, go ahead.
Yeah, so mine is going to come as a little bit of a shock because he's not a great. Well, the other three I do have. I have Munoz because you can't have a Bengals list without him. He's probably the greatest Bengal ever.
He is. Far. There's no question.
Yeah.
Joe, I've got Burrow, because Burrow absolutely deserves to be there. Burrow just keeps breaking records all the time there. I do have Ja'Marr Chase. And the thing is, I was thinking about Ocho Cinco, but I was like, you know, the end of his career, the second half of his career, he had such a high peak. The second half of his career just kind of fell by the wayside a little bit, but he was still, you know, pretty decent. He's still a great Bengal, like, you know, top five. I think if this is a top five list, he's fifth. So he just missed the cut for me, but I did include Chase because Chase is just a whole different freak of nature. And the last one I have is not a great overall player, but for their history, he's a great player. I have Boomer Esiason.
Oh yeah. That's fine.
Almost
That's
put him
cool.
in.
That's cool. I'm okay with that. All right, we'll finish this off.
Okay, so let's see. For the Bengals, I have Anthony Munoz. I have mm-hmm. Chad Johnson.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I have Joe Burrow. And I have a shocking to many, even you guys, I have Geno Atkins.
Ooh. I don't hate that. I do not hate that at all. I don't hate that at all. I think, yeah, it's a shock, but I love it. I actually get it. Okay, Bengals. There's a quarterback that kind of perturbed me a little because and this is kind of the main conversation I wanted to have with the Bengals. Andy Dalton.
If you're thinking
about the Bengals for this kind of list, Andy Dalton, regardless of his NFL career, he is still a great Bengal. And that's what makes it hard for me. But I don't know.
I would consider him probably the fourth best quarterback in their franchise history.
Just for Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
Actually, I would say fifth. I would say above him, as far as quarterbacks, in no particular order, Burrow, Boomer, Palmer, and Ken Anderson.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And then I would say Andy Dalton. So I don't even think he's on the Bengals' Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's actually true. Yeah, you're not wrong.
That's actually a great thought.
Well, you know, and the thing is, we can't skip the Bengals without showing love to somebody who would be on their Mount Rushmore at this position. Because everybody talks about Chase and Ocho Cinco. Don't forget AJ Green.
AJ Green
is a guy that gets widely missed, but I still think with our list, these are fine. Like, these are really good. There's some guys that stand out that don't make the cut, I think, with this team more than a lot of others. Let's keep going in the state of Ohio with Cleveland Browns. This list is fun. The Browns are kind of fun. I love a lot of these players that I have on my list.
Yeah.
Cleveland Browns, Jim Brown.
Yep.
My man, Otto Graham. The quarterback position is not.
Oh, yes, yes.
The quarterback position is not what it is today without Otto Graham. If you go watch that guy's tape, the guy's a legend at the quarterback position. If you love quarterbacks,
he's been like 20 years. Like, if you look at 20 years ahead of him, there's guys that weren't even better than him.
No, like, and again, like, we're quarterback gurus here, right? We love talking quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Otto Graham is the guy that, to me, you can't talk quarterback history without Otto Graham. Mm-hmm. Ozzie Newsome.
Oh, yeah. Ozzie Newsome.
Yeah, good one.
And a great GM, great player. And Joe Thomas.
Yes.
Yep.
All right, Will, go ahead.
All right, for Cleveland Browns. So mine is basically the same. I also have Jim Brown. I have Otto Graham. I have Joe Thomas. But I was shocked to many, and even you guys, I have Myles Garrett.
Yep.
I don't hate that at all. I don't hate that at all, in fact.
Yep, the $2 million man.
Yep, me and you are on the same wavelength, Will. I've got the same four. Brown, Garrett, Thomas, and Graham.
That's crazy.
Right. I'm totally fine with Garrett being on the list.
I also have those four.
Oh, three out of four. So close.
Jim Brown's my only fullback on this entire thing.
Houston Texans. Now, for those of you wondering, we made the collective decision to combine the Houston Oilers and the Tennessee Titans. It just feels appropriate. So this is just the Texans since their since their expansion in 2002. This one, Brandon, I had to call you and text you guys and be like, because this one's a little weird because it's, you know, it's such a young history still.
Yeah. And I mean, to me, there's only four guys. Two of them should be easy, and that's Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
And then, and the other two, you kind of have to think about it a little bit. I put Arian Foster. Yeah. And then my last one is a guy that's still playing, Laremy Tunsil.
Oh, I want to clap that up. I want to clap that up. That's surprising, but that's really good. I do not hate that at all. I'll be honest, for this AFC list that we're doing is going really quick just because there's a bunch of obvious picks because the depth is so much better than the NFC. It is so much better. All right, Shane, keep it going.
Yeah, I also have JJ, Andre Johnson, Arian Foster. But for my fourth, I have DeAndre Hopkins, who is who's also a current player. But
yeah. Will, keep us going.
Yeah, I actually shifted. I actually put Mario Williams out of there. I think I should have put him back, but I actually put DeAndre Hopkins in there, JJ Watt, Andre Johnson, but I put Dwayne Brown in there. So I put different left tackles.
Yeah, totally.
I thought about him too.
Good history of left tackles in the short history of the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. I feel bad about my fourth pick because I know like this guy has some drug issues and stuff. We'll get to it when I get to him. Johnson, Watt, Foster, Brian Cushing.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good one.
That one is just tough for me because I remember about like PEDs throughout a ton of his career, in fact. I think those are all fun. It's a fun team that's so young. The Baltimore / Indianapolis Colts, Shane.
Yes, I always forget they started in Baltimore, but I got Manning, obviously, Marvin Harrison, Jeff Saturday, and Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Saturday as a coach.
Yeah, please. No, for God's sake. Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, and another of my all-time favorite quarterbacks to watch on highlight tapes, Johnny U. Johnny United.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Johnny U.
All right, Brandon, go ahead.
I'm surprised neither of you brought up the one guy that I'm going to bring up because, to me it's Manning, Harrison, and Wayne. I love watching the Johnny U highlight tapes. I love what NFL Network when they show his stuff. You can't talk about football without Johnny U either. But number four, and we can't forget about it, Hall of Famer Dwight Freeney.
Yes, sir.
Thinking about him, I love Dwight Freeney. I love Dwight Freeney. You know who I felt actually really sad about? The last year of Dwight Freeney's career, one of his last years, you know where he played?
Seattle.
I don't
remember.
He also played on that Atlanta Falcons team that lost to the New England Patriots. Yeah, it was the Patriots. 28-3 team. He was on that team in a rotational role, and he was still really, really good.
He still did get a ring, though.
A ring. I'm just sad he couldn't get another one. Why didn't they run the ball? God dang it. All right, Will, finish us off with the Colts.
Honestly, I'm sad I didn't pick guys like Bob Sanders, Erwin James, and Robert Mathis. Like those guys, I should have like
think Robert about. Mathis, yeah. Bro. What a
yeah,
what a
Dallas legend. Clark, like those guys.
Yeah, I love Dallas Clark.
Yeah, but mine's just obviously the same thing. Johnny United's Peyton Manning, Dwight Freeney, and Marvin Harrison Sr.
Mm-hmm.
Dwight Freeney. I like that. I like that. Jacksonville Jaguars.
This was the hardest one for me.
This one is pretty mid. Jaguars.
It's pretty mid. All right, we'll start us off.
Yeah, honestly, with the team with the Jaguars, like, I know Shad Khan's there, but, you know, my boy Tony Khan, I got to give my boy love, Tony Khan.
Yeah.
But, okay, I know, Brent, I know your feelings about him, but whatever.
I don't keep up with AEW, but I'm not happy with what he's doing with Jacksonville. Yeah. Or in England, which Brandon and I know very well.
Oh, your soccer team, yeah, with soccer team, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so for my Jaguars, honestly, there's guys I could have gotten. Honestly, I feel like this one is a bit. I missed out on Maurice Jones-Drew. That's the one that I kind of
started
not putting in.
Yeah.
But I put in Tony Piselli.
Yep.
Brett Taylor.
Yep.
Yep.
Jimmy Smith.
Yep.
And someone that we probably don't remember, Paul Zunzi.
I don't remember how to say his last name, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Paul Szczęsny. Yeah.
Jacksonville for me, Tony Baselli, Fred Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew, Andrew Norwell. One of my absolute favorite O linemen.
Oh, dang. Okay.
All right, Brandon, go ahead.
Yep. I think I have the same three as Will. I have Fred Taylor, Tony Baselli, Jimmy Smith. But my last one, because my God, he's the only good quarterback in the history, Mark Brunell.
Mark Brunell.
I don't hate that.
All right, Shane.
Okay, so give me Blake Bortles. No, I'm kidding.
Someone was going to say that joke. Someone was going to put that in there.
No, so Fred Taylor, Tony Baselli, Jimmy Smith, and Mark Brunell.
All right.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
Yeah. Same as me.
The craziest thing is that if he had played a little bit longer, Jacksonville, I actually would put Jalen Ramsey in there.
I was thinking about putting him in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will, actually, if you wouldn't mind doing Tennessee and Houston Oilers, because I know you were pretty much a champion as I was of keeping these two together, Tennessee and the Houston Oilers.
Yeah, this one's a bit hard because they have some underrated guys. I remember that tight end from Tennessee there at a point that was there. And I know I also missed out on putting some underrated guys in there. But my guys for the Houston Oilers / Tennessee Titans are Earl Campbell, Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Eddie George.
Yep.
And the freak, Javon Kurse.
Woo!
Ooh.
I love it.
I'm. You know what? I'm gonna leave Derrick Henry off my list. I really like my list.
Wow.
I really like my list because I went very historic and I like it a lot. George Belanca, Ken Houston,
nice.
Ken Houston, Earl Campbell, and Bruce Matthews.
Nice.
I went really old school. I really wanted to pay homage to the Houston Oilers era because I think that's the best era of the Titans is the Oilers era. So I'm going to leave it there. Brandon, what did you have?
Yeah, we are. Once again, I'm happy that no one said this because I can kind of have it all to myself, at least until Shane says it. But he'll probably have him on there. I do have Derrick Henry. I do have Derrick Henry. I do have Eddie George. I do have Earl Campbell, but how can we forget Warren Moon, baby?
Yeah.
I was thinking about Warren. Yeah. All right, Shane.
Warren Moon.
Yep.
Earl Campbell. Eddie George. Bruce Matthews.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one picked Steve McNair.
That would have been interesting, too.
I was thinking about him, and I was thinking about the late, great Frank Wycheck.
Oh my god. Yes.
That's what I think about him too.
Steve McNair is also a late great RIP.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. 100%.
That death haunts me every day, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Absolutely.
What happened again to McNair?
Well, this is what happened. I think he had like an ex-girlfriend and she was a bit crazy.
Yeah.
And she killed him and then he killed herself and they found her body together on it.
Basically I remember the football life story was it was on a football life. They said that basically him and his wife had been unhappy for years. He started cheating around with this girl. Like they were then she was in a relationship too or something like that. But she was just a crazy mistress and she basically just dragged him down a dark path. But she, I think she had called him one night to come over, and she was distraught. And he basically tried to break it off with her, and she wouldn't let him, so she killed him and then killed herself.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Damn. All right. Brandon, how many current Kansas City Chiefs do you have?
Oh, man. Only two.
No, you pick.
Yeah, only two. Because, I mean, listen, you could put – I mean, the Chiefs have – that's another team, but it's such a rich history. Like, you could put so many different guys. But for the Chiefs, I think the two current ones are obvious. One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, Patrick Mahomes. You could make a case for the greatest tight end of all time, even though he's not my greatest, Travis Kelce. Because to me, the greatest tight end of all time also played for the Chiefs, Tony Gonzalez. And then, of course, I can't forget about him because, my God, it just – his career as a whole was absolutely insane. And I mean, he died, 10 days before I was born. So we didn't get to see him play, but Derek Thomas.
Yeah.
Yes. Great choice. Yeah. Great choice.
I have the same list, Brandon.
Oh, yeah. All right. We'll go ahead.
Yeah, me too.
Whoa.
But yeah. The craziest thing. Yeah. It's the same thing for mine, but the ones that I wish I could have put in, like Will Shields, I could have put the X Factor. If he would have a little bit much longer, I think longevity as far as like prime years, Priest Holmes could have been on my list. But that's some honorable mentions. Also, Lynn Dawson.
You know who we need to have a conversation about? One of the running backs I grew up with that's not on any of our lists, Jamaal Charles.
Yes. Yeah. I
loved watching him play growing up.
Same with Eric Berry, man. Eric Berry was amazing.
Oh, Eric Berry. Incredible. All right, Tony Gonzalez, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones. That's my list.
I was surprised.
I also want to give an honorable mention to Will Shields, guard.
I think if he could have played there longer, he'd be on there. But what he did there was fantastic. Can't forget about him, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. I would think so. I would argue that if he was still on the team, you would have to put him on here.
Yeah.
Because the revision is history.
And the thing is, you got to give like an honorable mention to a couple guys. And actually, you could put him on the Mount Rushmore just for what he did for Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith.
You honestly could. Yeah.
There's some other guys. I could put Justin Houston,
yeah.
Tomba
Haley
could have been there too.
Yeah.
Tomba. Los Angeles / San Diego Chargers. We are sorry, San Diego. We still feel bad about it all these years later. Shane, do you have the 11 kid man on your list?
I do, which, you know, look.
That guy. 9 kids.
Yeah, I mean, look, the knock on Philip Rivers is, oh, he never won a ring. And, you know, it's like, okay, sure. What?
Oh, that's his fault. He didn't play well in the playoff games.
Right.
Yeah. Turned over a lot.
But, you know, I mean, as far as regular season goes, he was pretty solid. So,
yeah.
And quite frankly, I couldn't think of 3 other people that I felt deserved to be here over him, so here we are. But it was funny. I really didn't have any tight ends in the NFC list, but then in the AFC West alone, I have 4.
Yeah.
So obviously, I think you can infer this: Antonio Gates,
yep.
LaDainian Tomlinson, and yes. Junior Seau.
Yes, Junior Seau.
Yeah,
that is my list as well.
That's my list.
Did Amazing. We sweep? Will?
Mine's a little bit different.
No!
I actually changed last minute. I was saying Philip Rivers, but I took him out. Justin Herbert, I think he has a great season. I think he, if he's, let's see what happens to him in the future, but he could be in the Steelers if he continues to play great. But mine's, of course, Damian Thompson, Antonio Gates, Junior Seau, and Doug Flutie.
Yes, I don't hate that. I don't hate Flutie on this. I don't hate it.
I was gonna say we're skipping a great Chargers quarterback that I was thinking I'm putting in there.
Yeah. Help him to go Super Bowl.
Dan Fouts. You know who's one of my favorite all-time NFL commentators? Dan Fouts. He's so good. Yeah. He was so good.
And I mean, you know, I also thought about, you know, like with Dan Fouts, I definitely wish that I could have put him on there, but I couldn't put him over Philip Rivers. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
But we're forgetting another guy that Dan Fouts also played with. And the thing is, you could have put him in. He could have had two tight ends in the Chargers, Mount Rushmore, because it could have been Kellen Winslow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. We're thinking heavily about Kellen Winslow as well. All right, Will, start us with the Denver Broncos.
Okay. This one's not really that hard. I think when looking at for the Denver Broncos, so mine is obviously, I think no list could be without John Elway because he is the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My boy, he's a color commentator. He has Club Shay Shay, Shannon Sharp. That's my boy. Yep. Most favorite guy. Entertaining as hell, too. Von Miller. Yep. I think he deserved to be on there. And I know y'all guys put him on the Commanders or so, but I think he's more on this guy is my boy, the Clamp, Champ Bailey.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm going to remove Shannon Sharp for Von Miller. I'm going to make that change right now, and I'm going to go.
Removing Shannon Sharp is bold.
I'm going to go Champ Bailey, John Elway, Von Miller, Steve Atwater.
Oh yeah.
Way back.
Oh yeah.
I love my boy Steve Atwater. I gotta keep him on the list.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brandon, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got pretty much the same as Will. Elway, Sharp, Champ, and Von Miller.
Oh, snap.
All right.
Mine's
what do you have?
Close. Mine's close. Elway, Von Miller. I do have Shannon because, I mean, in my mind, he's on the tight end Mount Rushmore, so therefore he kind of has to be on his own teams by default. And for my fourth, I have Rod Smith, actually.
Five. I was thinking about it.
Yeah. And then, yeah, honorable mention to Champ Bailey and Demaryius Thomas, RIP.
Yes.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Yes. Have to give him some love here.
Put Terrell Davis in our thing?
I was thinking about it. I switched him out last minute when I was thinking about it because I'm like, his peak was so high, but if he never had the health, the vision issues, he would have been, I think, easily not just the best Broncos running back ever. He would have been one of the greatest running backs ever, period.
Yeah.
So...
All right, the Oakland / like Las Vegas Raiders. I imagine all this will be Oakland based. We're sorry, Oakland. You don't deserve this as well. Here we go.
Yeah.
The Snake, Ken Stabler,
Rod
Woodson, and Charles Woodson.
Interesting.
Along with Marcus Allen.
So we have none of the same people.
Wow.
All right, Shane, go ahead.
That's a first. I don't even ever have that.
So I'm Jim Otto.
Oh, that's awesome. That is a great pick.
Gene Upshaw.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Tim Brown.
Yep, there you go.
And Ted Hendricks.
Wow, that's great. That's great. That's great. Brandon?
Yeah. I'm surprised that no one's said him yet. At least my short term memory might fail me, and Robbie might have said it, but I don't think he did. Yeah, Charles Woodson. It's obvious. I have him on the Packers and the Raiders. He's my favorite DB ever, and that's saying a lot because I've seen a lot of great DBs come through Philly. Obviously,
I have him on the Packers, but not the Raiders.
Yeah, I think he was a better. I mean, statistically, for those short years, he actually put up more stats. But I think he was on bad Raiders teams, so he was going to give up a little bit more. But he was so good for them, and he was so good at the end of his career for them too. So, yeah, Charles Woodson, Tim Brown, Marcus Allen. I was thinking about Bo Jackson because Bo Jackson was a freak up until he got moved. But I didn't put him. I went old school. I put another receiver, Fred Biletnikoff.
Nice. All right. Well, finish us off, man. This is your list. You get to finish it off.
Okay. So with this, I think guys I could have put, like Ray Guy could have been in there.
Yes.
I think he had a better, like, good second career. Like, he could arguably put Jerry Rice in there, but he didn't really have the same career, obviously, in the Niners. But, like, he had a solid career with the Raiders. I think, but my list is mostly, I think Charles Woodson, honestly, he could have got two Super Bowl rings with the Raiders if the Tuck rule didn't happen and the Raiders didn't just obviously gave up the game to their former head coach. So, but Charles Woodson deserves to be on it just because of how great he was for the Raiders. And I feel like as a part of a greatest of all time, you can't put a list without Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
So Gene Upshaw, obviously. I was thinking also putting Art Shell.
Yeah,
or Jim Otto, just because that O-line was so deep, so great around that time of the I think it was around the John Madden days. And I put Marcus Allen and Tim Brown.
Nice. Yeah, so Will, how do you feel now? You came up with this idea doing the list. How do you feel this went? Because I thought this was an awesome idea, and I think it went spectacularly well.
Yeah, I think this was a pretty good list, honestly. A lot of, like, guys taken out, you know, some of the stuff that we can go down memory lane of look like, oh my god, we forgot about this guy, or this guy could have been on our list, but I feel like this guy had more impact for the franchise, or if he would stay a little bit longer, he would have at least been on our Mount Rushmore. So it's been a good little activity for us to have. You know, it took 2 weeks just because, you know, how deep this conversation could be for this type of, you know, little list that we did for Mount Rushmore. And honestly, it was pretty good because a lot of people we remember, either we grew up or we, you know, go back in the archives to, like, watch and look up the stats and stuff like that. So honestly, I know you guys probably enjoyed it as well. And, you know, it was a pretty good, fun list down memory lane, and also, you know, celebrate a little bit the NFL, like past, present, future.
Yeah, I think we'll have to wait a few years to do this again just to see how our list changes. So definitely keep your documents in hand, because in the future.
I already just remembered a Raider we left off.
Who?
Howie Long,
yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, yeah, definitely fun. Good time to go through memory lane. I think we'll definitely have to wait a few years to do this again, to see how it changes. Yeah. But for our first run through, that was awesome. That was great. Definitely keep your list in hand for the future. All right, Brandon, we are starting your 5 Batman films with the best one we could possibly start with in The Dark Knight. Yeah. Christopher Nolan, one of his just unbelievable films. Get us started with why, for you, this was the first choice and your overall thoughts on rewatching this movie once again.
So when you think of Batman, just the character, you know, a lot of people will think of TV shows, they'll think of the movies, the video games, you know, the entire media of it. But when you think of the movies, it's always the Christian Bale trilogy. You know, Begins was great. Rises was pretty good, although I think it's the weakest of the three. I think the best Batman movie is The Dark Knight. And it's, you know, the only gripe I have about it before I get into it a little bit is that, like I said in the chat, you could shave about 20 minutes off this movie. There's a lot of just kind of unnecessary little things they could have done without. But I definitely think this is still a really, really great movie overall. Like, this is one of the few movies where if we did this during the season as one of our proper movies, I would give it like a 9 out of 10. That's just how great it, how legendary it is. And then most of it is legendary because of one man, you know, the great Heath Ledger playing the Joker. So, you know, that's, it's incredible what he was able to bring to that role, to bring something that we hadn't seen from a Joker iteration before. You know, less on the comedy, more on the serious side of the Joker, but still unhinged, which is what you need to have. But, you know, bringing the definitely a darker tone to it, and the whole series in general has a darker tone to Batman than what we saw before it. But this was, you know, a more sinister Joker. This was also just a more sinister, just from the Batman films in general. But this one in particular is just so memorable. I mean, there's so many, so many great quotes, and a lot of it is from Heath Ledger's Joker. A lot of it is just the way he delivers certain lines that people still remember to this day, almost 20 years later. We're getting up on 20 years in another 3 years.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. I watch some of those clips like weekly. It's so good. Like, yeah. I just can't. It's unbelievable.
It, you know, it's crazy that we're even getting so close to 20 years of this movie. It feels like it came out like 2 years ago, not 20. Or
at
almost
the same
20.
Time, it feels like a cinematic classic, like from the 80s.
Yeah, it's definitely a mod. Like, you know, when I think about like modern era, I think of anything, you know, post Y2K. So, you know, even though that was 25 years ago, you know, 2000 was 25 years ago, it's, you know, it's still modern enough. It is a modern classic. It's just a masterpiece of cinema. It literally is the absolute cinema meme. But like, it's, you know, like, this is a lot of our generation's, also this is our generation's Batman. This is our, you know, everybody who's pretty much, you know, in their 20s, 30s. This is your Batman. This is what you know as Batman.
You're gonna hate me. You're gonna hate me, Brandon. You're gonna get pissed off.
Why?
My Batman is Ben Affleck. That's what I started with.
I know, man.
Well, you know what? You know what's funny is I say our generation. The first Batman movie I watched was Batman 89 with Michael Keaton. So technically, even though it's not my generation, Michael Keaton is my Batman. But it's, you know, I wanted to see these movies in theaters when it came out. I think I did see Rises in the theater when it came out. I don't remember if I did or not.
Brandon, next month, Dark Knight is in IMAX. Next month.
Yeah, but I don't want to. I'm not a fan of rewatching movies in the theaters that came out like 20 years ago.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of all that.
A bunch of times. Yeah.
Like, you know, but when it's so like, but when it comes to this, it's like, it's just, it's funny watching it back now. Like, if you would have asked me 10 years ago what I thought about this movie, I'd be like, oh yeah, 10 out of 10, or hell, even 11 out of 10. But it's funny because I've noticed little things about it, and I'm like, that's an interesting choice. I don't know. Like, I can kind of hear, like, there's one, I forget what the scene was. There's one part in particular where Gary Oldman, because obviously he's not American, and he's playing.
You can hear his accent.
Yeah, that's sometimes the one thing that bothered me. I was like, I can hear the accent. And I was like, there was one line in particular, or two or three lines in particular, where he had a back and forth. And I'm like, my God, you couldn't have delivered that any worse, because you can definitely hear the, like, it's not even like he's trying to hide it. You can definitely hear the accent. I'm like, oh, they should have redone that scene. But there's little things I've kind of caught onto as time's gone on, but that's what you kind of do. But it's not going to drag down the movie at all. At least not by much. everything, you know, because everything else about it is so good. But you know, Shane, you were mentioning it, like how, you know, if you look, pay attention closely to this movie, especially like in the background too, there are some things that are a little awkward, like or not quite right. But what's, and then, you know, one scene, and another scene I'll bring up, okay, I shouldn't say one scene, another scene, because I've already talked about Gary Oldman's accent, but one scene I'll bring up that I thought was just weird was the little like fundraiser kind of party they did for Harvey Dent. And obviously when the Joker shows up, Batman obviously goes, you know, Christian Bale, it goes to fight him. And I'm like, why aren't people leaving? There's guns and there's people fighting in this, and people are just sitting there watching.
There's no point, bro.
Wait, can I explain that? Because I actually know why that is. It's a Christopher Nolan thing. And you know, and remember when we watched Tenet last year? Tenet's a great example. Do you remember the opening scene of Tenet, where in the opera house, when there's guns and stuff, and everyone's just sitting in their chairs? It's kind of like that. Right. I think the approach that Nolan has, and I'm sure he's talked about it in interviews, and I just missed it because I watched a bunch of Nolan interviews leading up to this. Even though I know we'll get to more like core Nolan next year, to prepare for the Odyssey, next summer. But I just think for him, it adds to the dramatics, it adds to the scenery, it makes the background more intense when there's people around. And I mean, when you look at movies in general, like when you, there's a gun, people are just running for their lives. When it's like, no, I'm so like hypnotized that I want to actually stay and see what happens, which I think is kind of how he views guns in filmmaking. At least that's been my impression of it. He just likes the ambiance of people, which adds to the drama of it in a really, I think, unique way.
It's just so weird when I think, because I'm like, that's not a natural reaction when people are fighting or pulling out guns or whatever it is. I'm like, it's not a natural reaction just to sit there and watch. Like that's
the plot reason.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Peter, at gunpoint, man. If someone moves, you think you're shot. So
not everybody in that room is at gunpoint. Like at least the people furthest away can get out or try to get out.
I think the exit was blocked, right? I think there were some guys there.
They said, oh, he has a panic room, but no, that was like the bat cave, so he didn't let him in. I don't know, maybe it was blocked off, but Brandon, I think you do bring a point that I think if we were in that situation, we would all react very differently. I just think that's kind of how Nolan approaches it.
Because you know, it's the normal human response of, you know, fight or flight. They're not doing either. They're not fighting and they're not fleeing. Right. So like that doesn't make sense when it's like, because it's like, even if the exit, you know, was blocked, you would still try, like, that many people, you would overwhelm the people blocking the door if you're all pushing out to leave.
Yeah.
So like I get from like a kind of an artistic standpoint, that kind of makes sense. When you're trying to make a movie and still have it, and the thing is, he also, it's funny because Christopher Nolan says like he likes practical effects, he likes being practical. That's not practical. Like, that doesn't make sense. So like, it's like, you know, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot there. But like, it's just, you know, but the thing is, it's like, those are small things that you nitpick on that you might not notice at first. But obviously we've seen the movie, it's just like everyone else, 1,000 times. But when we're watching it and love it so much, you're not totally paying attention sometimes. But the movie itself to me is so good. You know, just minus those couple of things. That's the only reason why I don't give it a 10. But it's, you know, Christian Bale's one of my favorite actors of the modern era. I'll watch anything he does. You know, Heath Ledger, anything he did, you know, people always think, oh, Heath Ledger, the Joker. Like, he kind of got, you know, plastered as that's his character. But I'm like, if you think about it, Heath Ledger's done so many great movies before that, you know, and he still had so much more left to go. If he were still alive, he'd be one of the greatest actors ever, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's just, it stinks that he was taken, it was so soon. But it's just, his Joker makes this movie. And that's not a slight to any of the other characters. But when you have somebody that every time they're on screen, they take over a scene, that's how you know it's special. Every time he's appeared in this movie, every time he's in a scene, he's the star. He's a sole focus. I mean, obviously, because he's one of the main actors, but still, but the way in which he goes about it and the way he delivers his lines makes this movie, because you look at Batman Begins, right, and Rises, and you look at those two, and obviously in Rises, it's Bane, it's Catwoman, and those are two great actors, Anne Hathaway and Tom Hardy.
But back to die with your city.
What matters is our plan.
One of us in the wreckage, brother.
No. I'm gonna be honest. When it comes to Rises, I genuinely love Dark Knight Rises.
I love Bane. That's my favorite Bane of all time.
I'm part. I mean, the entire Batman trilogy with Christian Bale has so many memes that are still funny, and they'll never not be funny. But like I'm such a big Joker fan that I just lean into this film more than the other characters in the other films. So I mean, hell, my guitar strap is the Joker on it. I've got the Joker on my guitar strap. But
oh my god,
just like this.
Wait, Brandon, can I pause you really quick? Do you remember who is in the football scene in Dark Knight Rises? It is someone we missed on one of our lists. Please tell me you guys remember who it is.
He was on my list.
Or no, he was on your list, yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to remember.
Was it Bradshaw?
No.
Big Ben.
Big Ben?
He's on there, but there's another guy. Who you throw to?
Who?
Tony Brown.
Oh, Heinz Ward.
Heinz Ward,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Damn. Now you can make me go back and think of Stewards I could have put on that list, because, yeah, he was one of them I was thinking about. But, my God, I even could have put freaking Heath Miller. But it's like, I love the idea. I love the idea that, because even Adams referenced it before. He's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Every time I watch the Steelers play and every time I see Russell Wilson throw a moon ball, well, not anymore. But he's like, every time I watch Russell Wilson throw a moon ball, he's like, I'm going to go full Bane on Heinz Field.
I'm going to blow it off.
I'm going to go blow it off.
I remember that Harley Quinn TV show. He was like, I'm gonna blow up Gotham Stadium.
Batman has the funniest memes, but a lot of the memes that we know, come from this trilogy, but especially this movie. And I just, it's crazy because a lot of the secondary characters in this movie, Michael J. White is in this too. He plays a small character, but he's actually really good in this movie.
Morgan Freeman's amazing.
Morgan Freeman's
great, obviously.
Wonderful.
But it's like, when you have such a good cast like that, and that they've had that in all three movies, but this movie, I think, does the best job of hitting on every single one of them, giving every single one of them a significant, even if it's a small role, significant role. So it's just like, because when you look at the other couple movies, the Begins kind of just is slow and it kind of just establishes the story, but that's what it does in a trilogy. But some of the characters are not fully fleshed out. And then Rises, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character kind of, to me, serves no purpose. But I get it. I kind of get it. But
he's this what we call a plot device.
Exactly. But it's like his character kind of just annoyed me. I'm like, this is, I don't care for this. And then with this one, it just feels like every character, big or small, had an important part to play, and they played it well. And when you have such a good group of actors that knows their role, and can you know bring actual emotion to the role and deliver their lines the way that they do in this movie, like a lot of drama, a lot of seriousness, you know, some comedy that makes it funny. Because Christian Bale has those moments himself where he can kind of bring a little bit of comedy into his character, which I like. And obviously just Heath Ledger being completely freaking unhinged and destroying everything in his path is great.
He's the funniest character, ironically.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's not too often the comedic relief is the villain, but yeah.
The pencil thing was funny. Remember, it's like the magic disappears.
Oh, my God, that's the scene.
I'm never going to magic disappear.
The pencil
disappear.
Do you guys know?
Do you guys know the history behind that scene? The history behind that scene is amazing. The guy, when you see, it's actually the one used in the movie where, like, I'll make this pencil disappear and he hits his head on the pencil.
Yeah.
He actually fainted it.
Oh my God!
And for the entire scene, he's fainted on the ground. He just kept going.
Oh, so he legit did it?
Yeah.
Oh snap! That got
him. My God, there was no ant scene. He was just laying there. Everybody's like, "Okay, you can stop now." Oh, wait a minute.
Keep going.
Shit. Like, I think he actually did it.
That's insane. Man. I did not realize that. You can't say he wasn't committed. That's just, you know, there's so much I can say about the movie, but I feel like I would just be going in circles. Like I can gush over this movie all night long, but it's just, you know, it's a modern classic, like you said, Jane. It's just it's so good to watch, or like I don't get bored of it. You know, the only criticisms I have are just very small ones, but other than that, I could watch it on a weekend, you know, like I watched it earlier again today, and I've watched it like a couple months ago when it was on TV and things like that. I can keep watching it. They keep showing it all the time. It's on Max. You can watch it whenever. Shameless plug for that. You're welcome. but it's so great. I love the movie. I love it to death. Yeah. Please sponsor us. Please clap. But it's just, I can't get enough of it, put it that way. Like, you know, there's certain little things I will notice that kind of bug us or bug me, especially because now that we're privy to, you know, movie mistakes and analyzing movies now, there's a lot of things I do notice more. But it still doesn't take away from how great a movie it is. So, I mean, I'm sure you guys, you know, feel the same way. So, it's important that we start with this movie. And we'll move on and we'll see the difference between the other ones, because there's a big difference on the other ones.
I love that the slogan for the Batman films that Brandon picked is, it only gets worse from here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's,
because
amazing.
It does.
Because it literally will. Will, I'll start you with this question, because this is kind of what sat with me. And I know you, as I am myself, are like still into Marvel, watch the multiverse saga and stuff, and obviously keep up with what's going on with DCEU and now the DCU with James Gunn. The thing that sits with me that I think people always get wrong with this film is that, to me, this is a film first and a comic book movie second. It just has all these qualities that make a film great versus this, mm-hmm. this kind of situation that we're at today, Will, where it's like, we're making a comic movie to make a comic book movie versus just like a pure film. Do you feel that same way?
Yeah, honestly, it was something that I think that Christopher Nolan, he basically took some aspects of what made each character, and he done well. Like, I know we didn't talk about him. He reminds me of an illegitimate brother, Shane, a Cillian Murphy Scarecrow. Like,
yeah. He's so good at Scarecrow.
Probably think about that. Like, what the hell are we talking about me for? But Scarecrow was amazing. Like, he didn't look like, you know, what he looks like before, but you just put the mask on and the fear toxin, and he basically, it's like, he's underrated as Scarecrow. Like, he was amazing in that role. and I'm glad they do that direction with him. I think the only one I didn't like as far as the trail with him go, as far as the Batman villains goes, was probably Talia al Ghul, because I thought she was disappointing as the main villain for Batman Dark Knight Rises, where it should have been Bane. But I think that, but other than that, like, yeah, Heath Ledger, Joker, Tom Hardy, Bane, Cillian Murphy, Scarecrow, Liam Neeson's Ra's al Ghul, like, he, like, I don't think he ever, and also Anne Hathaway, though she's not really a villain, though she's like an anti-hero sort of, but yeah, Anne Hathaway's Catwoman, like, they did pretty well with almost all the characters as far as the Rogue Gallery go, and I feel like putting a little spin on it, but also giving a nod to basically the DC characters go, I think that's pretty good, because that shows you that you can really stand out from the rest. But also, I got to talk about a little bit of a little something that we normally talk about as far as Christmas go for Dark Knight shit. I mean, Rob. But the biggest thing for me is that I know Joker keep on saying that he, you know, obviously it's the biggest thing about not, like, giving up that no kill rule. But the thing is that in the first film, he actually killed Ra's al Ghul, though, because he got, because you gotta look at it, though, like, he was at the train and he said, oh, I'm not going to kill you, but no problem about saving you either, which is kind of he actually killed him, though.
That's kind of the funny part about the history of Batman movie shows and all these things, and Brandon, you can back me up on it. The no kill rule, it's kind of a, you know, it gets pushed to the side in certain situations. I mean, some of it's based on the comics, right? But also,
yeah, there's a fine line.
Yeah, there's
a pretty fine line between when he does kill and when he doesn't. Like, and the thing is, you could also take it as like, oh yeah, you know, Ra's al Ghul didn't technically die, because if you think about the comics, like, you know, anytime he does, Lazarus, I think there's one time where he does die, he gets resurrected by the
Lazarus pits.
Yeah, the Lazarus pit. So, you know, it's technically, you know, it's like, hey, did he really die? You know, like, so it gets murky with the no kill rule, but you know, that's why I like it. I like superheroes that have that kind of darker kind of gray area to them. So that's part of the reason why I'm like, MCU, I don't need more PG-13 movies. Give me R-rated superhero movies. I want to see more violence. But
yeah, I think we need that for sure.
Yeah, but the craziest thing, I also can I talk a little bit about Bane, Tom Hardy Bane, real quick?
Of course, we're talking about the whole trilogy, please.
Oh, the trilogy? Oh, I thought you were just talking about Dark Knight.
Is our opportunity to talk about the whole trilogy. So
yeah, no. But the craziest thing with Bane, with Tom Hardy's Bane, is that he don't even look like he fit a little bit, though, because he look a little bit like he has a little bit muscle on him, but a little bit overweight either, because I remember Tom Hardy says that, like, he didn't feel a little bit healthy as Bane because he looked a little bit, like, you know, on the little chubby side. But you look at the movie, like, he looks like he was fit for the role, though.
Yeah.
It's, like, crazy. It's, like, yeah. I don't know why he thought he looked a little bit, like, unhealthy as Bane, but he looked a little bit fit for basically the appearance-wise for Bane.
Yeah, I know. I think some of it was... I think some of it was that he was a big Batman fan. He looked at Bale and he's like, oh shit. But no, it fits, I think. Right, Brandon? I think it fits well.
Yeah. And I think he probably just said that, probably most likely just because, I mean, he's not the biggest guy in the world, so probably, you know, putting on that kind of weight and muscle for a character, it does have adverse health effects. So, you know, he did kind of have to, he probably did feel kind of crappy, you know, because for his frame. So, you know, it's that doesn't surprise me, but I mean, great actors go to great lengths, you know, to for their craft. Like, Christian Bale also can put on muscle like he did for the Batman, but also be a skeleton like he was for the Machinist. So
or like Hugh Vice Jackson. when he was giant.
Yeah.
Overweight, obese.
Yeah. It's you know that's what great actors can do. You know, there was, you know, when you're willing to die for your craft, you know, just like a lot of athletes who put in, you know, we're a football pod, you know, when they give 110% and put their bodies on the line for their team, you know, when you give everything you have, usually those are the ones that end up being the most successful. So it's no different when it comes to acting. Acting in itself is almost like a sport. You know, you have to be the best, you know, in order to be the best at what you do, you got to show up for it. So it's definitely, you know, I think he was perfect for what he was as Bane. I think all these villains were in these movies. And then that's what happens when you have a whole great cast in general that's done so many great movies combined between all of them. So the chemistry is going to be there because, you know, a lot of big actors who've done great movies in the past, if they do movies with each other, it should be really damn good.
Yeah.
And, you know, these three were really damn good.
Yeah, the craziest thing, though, also, with the Dark Knight trilogy, is like, you don't see that much blood and gore. It's mostly like you see some like violence as far as like, you know, gunshots here and there, though. It's like a little bit ridiculous. I remember when Joker revealed himself in the beginning of Dark Knight, and then the guy really shot him, but then he got up a little bit. I'm like, but he just shot you. And he's talking about like who are you, whatever. And then I was like, it was kind of weird for that one, but I like how like you don't see much violence. You don't see like any like blood or anything. Probably I see here and there, but I kind of like with the Chris Nolan, like you can like stretch the line of having a great story, but you don't have to resort to mostly like, you know, a lot of like body horror or blood violence and all of that. It's like you can actually tell a good story with a bit of violence, but just not like go over top with it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Shane, for you, this is one of your all-time favorites. I know you want to talk about like just the general list of great comic book films and really great films in general, because this is up there as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is widely considered the best comic book movie ever by most people. It was for me for a long time. I think now for me it's probably third on my list for comic book movies.
What's it behind?
Take a guess.
Jeez, I mean, there's some good ones.
Well, I'm gonna make you guys guess because Shane told me yesterday. So,
Spider-Man 2.
No, I mean, yeah. Well, first of all, we talk about how The Dark Knight is just an amazing film first before a comic book movie. What's the other one that's kind of like that?
Film before a comic
movie. Will or Brandon, do you want
it's like a great modern Western that happens to have comic book characters in it.
Do Brandon, do you want a hint?
My brain's fried on a Sunday night.
What movie did we watch last year that we like unanimously loved last summer around this time? In a specific series we did. Before
how can you not think of this? Logan.
Why is my
Logan?
Oh, yeah, I love Logan. I love Logan.
That's my second favorite. My favorite is Infinity War.
Logan. Yeah.
Just because, and not to go into too great a detail with that, but I just felt like it was paced perfectly. I loved seeing all the different characters that were in it.
Yeah,
I think that was rough. But everybody else.
I don't want to say much of what I said earlier last time.
I just thought it was just done so brilliantly considering how many characters there were and how well balanced it felt and just the wide range of emotions and yada yada yada. Anyways. But this, you know, this one is third for me, and you know, I mean the biggest thing everybody talks about, obviously, Heath Ledger. I mean, he was just incredible. You know, and as you said, Brandon, he's been in he, or I guess was, in other really good stuff.
We do have him last year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, between 10 Things I Hate About You, A Knight's Tale, what else was it? Brokeback Mountain. I mean, those were all...
The Patriot's a good one.
Yeah, and those were all very different roles, too, for him. So, anyways, so that's... And yeah, and he was great in this. I... Just seeing the other stuff he's been in, you know, I would not watch that and think, oh yeah, he should play the Joker, you know, but, but I mean, he was great, obviously. So I guess it worked out. yeah, I mean, that interrogation scene is one of my favorite scenes ever. Just in terms of the, I mean, everything's just great. The dialogue, the acting, the, you know, the lighting, how it's kind of, it's like, it feels so dim in there. Yet you can just feel like the fluorescent tube above them. You know, and the sound design's great too. It's just everything. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, as far as good writing in this movie, I mean, I think what really makes it stand out is that Joker is constantly putting Batman and Gordon, whoever else, in these, like, difficult situations where they really have to choose something. And you kind of lose either way. And, you know, it's the whole idea of, like, when he says, you know, how people, you know, you see people's true selves when they're faced with dying or like a hard choice, whatever. And you see that over and over again in this movie. And nobody yet has mentioned Aaron Eckhart as Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
But he, I think, is one of the best parts of this movie, other than Heath, obviously, because he really is the one that bears the weight of what's going on. And I really like how, I just think it's such an interesting dynamic of how he's supposed to be kind of the hero, Joker's the villain, and Batman's kind of like the, not a anti-hero, but he's almost like a wild card, you know. It's like, do we, you know, what do we think about him, really? you know, and like, some think, yeah, he should be arrested, and others are like, well, no, he's, but you know, but then, you know, it's even all the corruption and anarchy and villainy and everything is even too much for Harvey Dent, and he breaks eventually, and that's just. I've always found that very interesting.
Did we miss talking about Michael Caine as
yeah, who's also, yeah, fantastic.
Simply fantastic.
Legend. Yes.
And also Maggie Gyllenhaal as Rachel Dawes. Kind of a strange recast, too, yeah, in my opinion, because it was Katie Holmes in the first one, and
yeah,
I thought she was much better, personally.
Maggie's a weird. Yeah, Maggie pales in comparison to her brother.
True.
For Michael Caine, I mean, he's been in almost everything Nolan throughout his career since that film, but like as Alfred, I mean, dude, it's perfect. It's like when I think of Alfred, well, like that's what I think of Michael Caine's interpretation of it.
Yeah,
the thing is, the thing is, he plays Alfred in every single movie.
pretty much.
In every movie you see him in, he's always just like the wise older guy.
Yeah, he's
the wise, old British guy. Like he's been that for 30 years. You know, like. So yeah, like you said, Robert, it's just perfect. It's an obvious choice.
You can tell these Russian women to apply their own bloody suntan lotion.
I like the
so good
when Dent's like, any psychotic ex-boyfriends I should know about? Oh, you have no idea. Seriously. There's really two things about this movie that keep it out of, like, you know, the top one or two for me for comic book movies. Brandon was saying this earlier. I think it's maybe 15, 20 minutes too long, especially like in the middle third. There's definitely some stuff you could shave off there, and a little bit like in the beginning as well. Not like the heist, but like in some of the setup. And it makes it so that by the end of it, you're like, oh my God. Like, yeah, so there's that. And, you know, because in general, I don't think movies have any reason to be any longer than 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Tell that to Zack Snyder, please.
Zack Snyder, James Cameron, and Martin Scorsese. That's for you guys. sometimes Nolan. Actually, usually Nolan. But anyways, that's besides the point. No, I'm not.
Excuse me.
No, I'm kidding. But kind of. Anyway, so yeah, and this movie is no different. I don't think it should be that long. I think Infinity War is fine at that length, but because there's, you know, 900 characters in that movie.
So you're saying Doomsday should be 4 hours.
Oh God, please.
I said 2.5, not 4.
This could be like 50 cast members in that damn movie.
Don't use my word. Don't twist my words.
I know. I'm just thinking. There's gonna be like 50 cast members in that movie. How are you gonna do it in 2.5 hours?
Yeah, the New Avengers, X-Men,
Fantastic Four,
and the Doctor Doom and his variants. I believe.
With how long the newer MCU movies are, I really hope there's a damn intermission in the movie. Because I'm not going to sit there for 3-4 hours without going to the bathroom. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Professor X is going to hypnotize you and say, Brandon, don't go to the bathroom.
I sat there.
Professor X. I saw what the Scarlet Witch done to her.
I was dying during the Batman because that was 3 hours. By the end of it, I forgot I had to go TMI, but like because that's how good the movie was to me. But then when the credits hit, I was like, oh my God, if I don't get to the bathroom in the next 0.5 seconds, I'm going to explode.
All right, Shane, continue.
Why are my pants wet? did my leg fall asleep or is it warm? I think it's a little long really it's the story of what, 5-6 like central characters. And the other thing, I love Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Hate 100%. His Batman.
Oh, yeah. Shane, I got to tell you something, bro. The first thing, I was laughing my butt off when he tried to imitate Batman. When he was imitating that guy, he's like, oh, pray, guy. No, pray to me. I was like, that was funny as hell. I was like, bro, he tried so hard trying to be the intimidating Batman. That was funny.
Yeah. I do not No, I can't. I can't stand his Batman at all. I just, the voice drives me crazy.
Yeah,
I think it's way over the top, and he just, like, his movements are so stiff too. Like, I'm not, literally when I watch him, I'm not convinced that this guy could, like, is as much of a badass as he's supposed to be. Like, I just don't buy it, because I'm like, he just, I don't know. I think, you know, like when you watch Affleck as Batman, I'm like, holy shit, this guy's gonna kill somebody. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh wow, that's good. You know, or same with Pattinson, same way.
Pattinson, he'll beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, Pattinson, but Bale's Batman, I just, oh, I can't stand it. And especially
I like how weird it is. I'll be honest, I kind of like. I think it fits the universe.
Especially in this movie.
Yeah, but it looks like every time when he fights, it looks like he's almost gonna die though. Yes, especially when he was versus Bane. Like I liked it though. It shows shows some vulnerability.
I think it's definitely fair. All right, Shane, do you have any last thoughts before we do ratings?
No, that's pretty much it. Yeah, I mean, those are just the two things. But other than that, yeah, it's great.
Yeah. What are you what's your rating here?
My rating?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Shane. What do you have? Sorry.
Probably an A, but like a low, like on the cusp of an A, like 93%, you know?
I think
that makes sense.
Yeah,
Mr. Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes over there.
Will, go ahead.
I remember I saw it on regular, on when you Google it, it's like a 9 out of 10, but I'm probably going to give it like a 9.5. I just feel like that what happened the first film at the ending kind of contradicts Batman with the no-kill rule, but I kind of see, I guess, what they was going by, because he technically didn't kill him, but the train did. We don't even know if he's actually dead, so possibly we have that in mind. But yeah, I'll give it 9.5 out of 10.
Brandon?
Yeah, I, like I said, if it wasn't for like the couple little things that at least Shane and I noticed, I would say, you know, 10 out of 10, it'd be a perfect score for me, because that's how much I love it, and it's a modern classic, but it's still a 9 out of 10, and I don't think that's ever going to change, like, because my gripes about it are so small, I don't think it matters, so 9 out of 10.
Yeah, this is a solid 9 for me, too. I love it so much, it's great. It is my favorite Batman, not just my favorite Batman universe, it is my favorite DC universe. It's 3 movies, no extra crap. No Harley Quinn, maybe killing Robin, maybe not, like the DCEU, none of this crap. Just a solid 3 movie DC universe.
I'm curious.
No, go ahead, Shane.
Sorry, you hope what?
I hope the DCU is even half as good as this film. Like the whole thing. I hope to God. We'll see about Superman, yep.
Yeah. Because I think Henry Cavill, with how he done with Superman, I think that's going to be hard to, like...
It's going to be hard really... to stop. It's going to be hard to stop. All right, Shane, go ahead.
Really quick, I'm curious. Of the 3 Dark Knight movies, Batman Begins, Dark Knight, and Dark Knight Rises, what is your guys' ranking of the 3, best to worst?
2-3-1.
2-3-1. Okay, I'm 2-1-3.
That's how I am. I'm 2-1-3.
Because I think most people have Dark Knight as their top, but then I'm always curious, like, how people sort out the other two.
Yeah. Yeah. Will, what do you have of all 3 of the Christopher Nolan trilogy? Well, actually, mine's different.
I have 2. I have 3 second, just because the Bane scene is just so freaking iconic and it's funny as hell. And I have 1 as my least favorite.
Yeah, the thing with me with Batman Begins, it's like I know the movie, I know it well, but I just don't find myself going back to it as much as I do with Dark Knight, obviously, and then Rises. I just don't go back to it as much. So,
Rises just feels too messy and overcomplicated to me.
I think that's fair. I agree. Think that's absolutely a fair criticism. I just love the film.
Yeah.
I just love it. Plus,
I mean, Bruce essentially does his arc twice in that same movie. Like,
yeah.
My thing is, and you guys will, you got the sense of it with Tenet if you watched Brandon and I do that episode. But like, for me, I am not really the right person to talk about Christopher Nolan films in general, including these three Batman movies, because I just love everything Christopher Nolan has done since Dark Knight, and then moving forward here into now 2026 with The Odyssey. I've just loved everything he's done. So I'm not the best authority on it, to be fair. But yeah, Brandon, what do you have on tap for us next week?
So obviously the original plan, before Val Kilmer passed, was to do Bat-Pat. It was to do the Batman, but the thing is, it's also just too long. We've already talked about how long this movie is. I don't want to do another long one back to back. Also,
it's also extremely recent, and that's also part of my thinking. It's like, yeah, it's so recent. I don't know how much we can add to it right now. Although I will tell you, Brandon, when the second one comes out, we will do the Batman. So I will keep it on the docket.
If it comes out, they stop delaying it.
Yeah,
if it comes out. You know, I don't know. I'm still pissed that it's getting. But by the time it ever comes out, people just forget about it. So you know, because Pattinson will probably be looking a little older at that point. It's like, okay, what's the point of doing even a third one after that? So I don't know. But yeah. So because of it, you know, because of Bat-Pat being too long, and because of it being too recent, and because of Val Kilmer's literally just, you know, recent passing about a week ago, we are going to still go in descending order, so we're still going to go backwards. But you know, because Dark Knight had to go first anyway, because it's like it's a classic, so that's why we kind of were originally going to go from 08 to 22 and then back down. But but now we can go in true descending order, so now we can go to Batman Forever. So we have to do Batman Forever because of Val Kilmer. And because I just think that people just, I mean, you know, when people think of Val Kilmer, they'll think of Batman Forever. But in terms of an actual Batman, Val Kilmer gets forgotten about, and he shouldn't. Because to me, he is a really damn good Batman. And so I feel like he has to be done. And also just the cast in that movie, despite it not being a good movie, despite that script being bad, that cast is fantastic. Val Kilmer, Tommy Lee Jones, Jim Carrey.
Yeah,
Nicole Kidman. So, you know, Chris O'Donnell, whatever. Chris O'Donnell sucks.
Drew Barrymore.
Oh well, yeah. It's like, yeah, like Chris O'Donnell's whatever to me. Chris O'Donnell, I don't care for. Guy sucks.
Yeah.
But the rest of them are fine. So you know, between the acting, and between Val Kilmer's passing, I want to do that movie next. And then so we're going to go from today was Dark Knight, next week Batman Forever, and then the week after that we're going to go to another deceased Batman icon. We're going to do Kevin Conroy, and we're going to do obviously go so
Bat-Hazel?
yeah so we have to do Mask of the Phantasm, because that's just a classic, not even just a classic animated movie. It's a classic Batman movie. It's a classic superhero movie. So we got to do that. I could watch that movie over and over again. So we're going to go. So the order is now changed to now be Dark Knight today, Batman Forever, Mask of the Phantasm, Batman 66. We're going to go all the way back. And then the watch along at the very end is going to be, because it's going to be silly. We're not gonna take it seriously. Batman and Robin.
Oh no.
So that's gonna be
all day.
Yeah. If you got any to bring back a segment that we do in the regular season, if you got any pot cookies, eat them, because you're gonna need it for that one.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger's gonna be on a pot cookie.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Let's see. NFL draft is coming up very soon here.
Yeah.
very, very soon. Let me quickly see what we have coming up here. So Thursday, the 26th.
That's in two weeks.
It's in two weeks now. So next week, coming up this next week, as we're doing Batman Forever, we are going to do our mock draft. Our end tail show mock draft. And then over the course of that weekend, next weekend, we will also do a watch along of one of the worst movies I think I've ever seen in draft day, which is terrible. We will watch that on stream. That movie's terrible. But yeah, we'll have that. And then we're going to do a live show for the NFL draft. We'll keep you guys updated on that as we go through. But that is our plan. So next week will be our mock draft show, plus Batman Forever, and also a fun watch along of one of the dumbest movies ever in draft day. So we'll see you then. For Shane, for Brandon, for Will. We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
See ya.
Have a good one, everybody.